A surge away from stocks around the world, with money moving into bonds and cash, with now Tokyo in a bear market. For Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. After a mixed day for stock prices on Tuesday, Wednesday here has turned into a bear. Right now, the 100-share index in London is down 2.9%, same with the DAX index in Germany. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 3.9%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 1.9% range now, with 2.5 hours to go till the opening bell on Wall Street. Note interest rates today. The benchmark, the 10-year Treasury yield, is below 2% this morning, the lowest since October, below 1.98%. Low oil prices and concern about China is the popular explanation here, but the news on that came yesterday, and share prices held stable, so why the new bout of risk aversion today? Many eyes are on Tokyo today, where the key index there, the Nikkei, fell 3.7% and is now in so-called bear territory. It's fallen more than 10% from a recent high. But Yoko Ishikura, professor emeritus at Hitotsubashi University, sees Japan's markets today as more of an effect, not so much the cause.
I think it sort of follows whatever is going on in the other markets, first of all, and yen got much stronger. And also the oil price kept going down, so that doesn't help with all these three combinations. Overall, I think the Japanese stock market follows the U.S. and other places, so that's part of it.
Perhaps we need a bit of an economics lesson here. The yen has been going up as people have sold off shares elsewhere, and when the yen goes up, that can mean trouble for the Japanese economy. We've certainly seen that with the dollar here in the U.S.
Yes. And I think we had a little bit of relief because the yen got a little stronger, which helps the export companies. And partly because I think a lot of people went to get yen, which doesn't fluctuate as much. So that's why the yen got much stronger. I think what I'm sort of surprised is that the magnitude of the change.
The magnitude of the share price changes, given the fact that we're at this moment for the Japanese economy.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yoko Ishikura is now an independent consultant on global strategy for companies. The Japanese yen is stronger today, up 1% to the dollar now. And again, the magnitude of the move today, the Nikkei falling 3.7%, would be like the Dow falling nearly 600 points. In fact, the Dow closed up 27 points on Tuesday. But as I say, the Dow future is down 1.9% now. The huge fossil fuel company Royal Dutch Shell announced today that profits were cut nearly in half last quarter. The oil company also said profit for the entire year, 2015, will be roughly $10.5 billion compared to $22 billion in 2014, again cut by more than half. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports now on how Shell and other companies are trying to cope with low oil prices, down another 0.9% and under $28 a barrel this morning.
The big oil companies aren't struggling as much as smaller independents. The big guys are more diversified. They pump and refine oil. U.S. refineries have been able to buy oil at rock-bottom prices and turn it into gasoline. Gas prices haven't fallen as fast as oil prices, so the refiners profit. Luana Siegfried is a research associate at Raymond James.
I think probably in the fourth quarter, we're going to see great results from the refineries.
Siegfried says even the bump in refinery profits is going away as gas prices keep falling, but she expects oil prices to rise later this year. Other oil analysts like Fadel Gade at Oppenheimer say no one can predict oil prices right now. He says oil companies' earnings will keep falling.
2015 was a very bad year. 2016 will be worse than 2015.
Gates says if oil went up to $60 a barrel, a handful of oil companies might break even. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
At one point last year, Atlanta was one of the top markets in America for electric vehicle sales. But since July, new EV registrations there have plummeted. Georgia Public Broadcasting's Michael Caputo explains how a change in Georgia state law brought enthusiasm of Georgians for electric cars to a screeching halt.
The signs of electric vehicle use abound as electric car owner Michael Bainenson drives around a parking garage by a Midtown Atlanta mall.
You see here, we've got three chargers that are charging at a level tomb. Now where I'm taking you now is on the lower level, and you'll see 10 Tesla superchargers.
Bainenson is president of the EV Club of the South. His explanation for the popularity?
A lot of people made their decisions to get in these cars not because of the environment. They wanted to get in because of the math.
The math for those who bought or leased an electric-only car included a $5,000 tax credit. A Georgian with an EV could divide that credit over a two-year lease and recoup about $200 a month. But Georgia lawmakers recently ended the tax incentive to find savings that offset a transportation spending bill. Since a tax break ended in July, EV registrations are off by 90%.
The credit had jump-started the market, but the market wasn't mature quite yet.
That's Tim Eccles, a Republican on the state's Public Service Commission, which regulates energy in Georgia. Eccles says Georgia lawmakers may see a bill calling for a smaller tax credit that would phase out over time, but he says that's unlikely to be approved. The real test for electric car acceptance will come when EV leases expire. Will drivers re-up without the tax break? EV enthusiast Michael Bainenson.
If we don't have something out there when they release those cars, you can argue that they will go back to gasoline vehicles.
And there's a final blow to the once brisk Georgia EV market. Gas-powered cars contribute to transportation funding in Georgia through a gas tax. In 2015, lawmakers imposed a $200 road use fee on alternative fuel vehicles, including electric cars. In Atlanta, I'm Michael Caputo for Marketplace.
And the gathering of the influential and or the very affluent opens today in the Swiss Alps. We'll be reporting on the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland all week. If you miss our coverage on the air today, you can consult the Marketplace Midday podcast later on. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.